Again, welcome to Christian Bible Baptist, our home church. And this is the first time you're hearing this. We are a Bible-believing, trusting, gospel-preaching church.
Amen.
Okay, we don't go by what brings in the crowds. Amen. We don't go in by what brings in the dollars. We do what we do here for spirituality. Our one mission for this church and for our people is to get to heaven. Okay, and if your mind is about something else, if your heart's about something else, then we're going to try and get you going in the right direction. Earlier we said, we sang, "Lead me to Calvary." We weren't talking about any individual person. We were talking about God, lead us to Calvary.
Amen.
Because he knows the path and he knows the shortcuts. So if you want to take the long way around it and suffer greatly on the way, that is your choice. But if you follow God, he will get you there correctly and quickly. I'm going to say a prayer and then we're going to get started. Let's bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for all that you do. Thank you for being how good you are and how great you are and how merciful you are, dear Lord. Thank you for your faithfulness toward us. Dear Lord, I ask that you forgive us for our sins, whatever they might be, dear Lord. Whether we see them as great, small, or insignificant, it doesn't matter, dear Lord. A sin is a sin and punishable by death. So, dear Lord, I ask that you forgive us for our sins because we want you to hear our prayers. We want you to hear our praises. We want you to hear our pleas, dear Lord. But above all, we want you to know that when we give you glory, it is with sincerity. We can't thank you enough for who you are. Please continue to bless your people. Bless this message, dear Lord, this sermon. Let it touch somebody, dear Lord, in a way that they need it, because we all need you. Dear Lord, thank you for all that you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'm going to start off with a scripture that it felt like it needed to be read for this particular occasion. And it's Psalms 19, verse 14. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Because I want him to use me. So what comes out of my mouth, I want it to be for God. And I meditated on this in my heart. And while I was putting this together, I prayed a lot. And I meditated on it a lot. So I want God to get the glory from this. Today, the world is going through a terrible epidemic. People are getting sick from a virus that there is no vaccine for as of yet. Out of all the things that can end your life, COVID-19 is the boss right now. All the other diseases and viruses have taken a backseat to this particular one.
Yes, yes.
Stay at home, they say. Don't leave except to go through a drive-through restaurant, go to the grocery store, or be one of 100 other folks at Walmart. That's fine. But that's not stopping the spread. Don't forget to hit up your local liquor store, as they are essential to the economy. Unfortunately, your spirituality is a non-issue.
Amen.
In a country that feels that God has no place in it. Constantly telling the public through TV and radio, stay home and stay away from church. If you come out on Sunday, you can come and go to drive-in church and listen to it on the radio, which they're doing all over. This is the way the world is going. Even now, this will be recorded and shared. But we are doing it for the right reason, because we want to share the word of God. This isn't for a dollar. Hopefully someone will hear the word of God and have a mind, spirit, and a heart change. With all this going on, we need to consider the conditions of our heart. You may not know this, but the countries and the whole world is so worried about this COVID-19 and how many people it's affected and how many people have died from it. But take this into consideration. Every year, 17 million people die from cardiovascular disease worldwide each year. Heart disease. 17 million people. Now, only 200-some thousand people have even been affected worldwide, or over that. There's been hundreds of thousands of people affected with COVID-19, and so many of they don't even give the right numbers anymore because they don't want you to know. How many people recovered, how many people died, they don't want you to know anymore. But 17 million people died from heart disease, but you won't hear any of that on the news, on the radio. And all the money that would be going to that, you're not going to hear any of that. But what condition were these people's heart in? And I don't mean their physical heart.
Yes, amen.
Their spiritual heart, their love for God. Did they know God? 17 million people gone. Something else to consider is, what kind of heart do you have?
Amen.
Is it good? Is it bad? Is it hard? Does your heart and life please God? These are questions that came to mind when this was coming together. And the main part of our scripture comes from Ephesians 4, verses 17 through 32. And it reads, "This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not learned Christ. If so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which is after God, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down on your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed until the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you, yes, with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you."
Amen.
What condition is your heart in? If you don't know Christ, you're in a bad situation.
Yeah.
If you don't know God, if you don't know God and Christ, then you have heart disease. It reads here that ye put off concerning the former conversation. God, if when you learn and you know God and God has pricked your heart and changed you, the old conversation is the old lifestyle that you had. The way you walked, the way you talked, the way you lived. Put it away from you. Because it is corrupt. And it says it right here, that ye put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, the old you, because now God has made you new. Because the old you, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Don't just say that you know God. Believe that you know God. Because God, he loves everybody, regardless of how you're living. That doesn't mean he accepts it. So don't get thinking that, you know, God knows me and he knows what's going on and everything will be all right. But be renewed.
Yes.
In verse 24, it reads, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created, is in righteousness and true holiness. So the old you, let that old you be done. Let that old you pass away. And let the new you shine and give God glory. This is where we need to be going. All this that in this scripture that was just read, this is where we need to be headed to. We need to let no corrupt communication proceed out of our mouth. Because I don't have the whole scripture here, but out of the abundance of the mouth, the heart speaks. So if you cussing and fussing and letting people, you know, giving people just a little bit of your mind that ain't right, then it's going to come out of your mouth because you got a bad heart. And if you hear yourself doing that, you may want a heart check. Because Paul makes it plain in these scriptures. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. If you're mad when you hit the bed at night, you probably need to start praying more.
Amen.
Another thing, be ye angry and sin not. That is serious. Because you can be angry all day long. But that doesn't mean that you have to commit or do anything that would hinder your walk with God. Because
yes.
In this life, in this flesh, someone will always disappoint you. Someone will always hurt your feelings. Someone will always break a promise. Things don't always go the way you want them to go. And the devil is constantly working to get you out of the grace of God. And anger is one of the easiest ways to do it. But that doesn't mean that you give in to him. In verse 27, it reads, neither give place to the devil, because he wants a place in your life. And what we do, when we give in to anger, when we give in to deceit or whatever, we give place to the devil. We give him room in our lives. We basically invite him in to a place that God, with verse 24, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. The devil wants in on that. He doesn't want you to be righteous. He doesn't want you to be holy. He wants you to go to hell with him. So neither give place to the devil. Because if you do, he'll bring his own plate and silverware. He'll bring his own luggage. And if you don't have a bed for him, he'll bring an inflatable. So be careful. Don't live as those who think they know it all, but don't know or believe in God or Jesus. Because there's old people out there that they know everything. They know everything and they will tell you they do. And whatever you say, they have an answer for. How's your heart? We understand things through knowledge and wisdom. Also, we understand things through feeling and emotion. I've heard people say this so many times. I've heard people, mainly older people, telling younger people, you think you know everything, but you don't know a thing. But you watch as they live, and they act like they know everything. You can't tell me nothing. Well, I don't need to tell you anything. The Word of God tells it all.
Amen.
You live, these people that think they know everything, they live as if God doesn't exist because of their own worldly understanding. But they're blind. They're blind to the things of God. They have no desire to know God at all. And I don't mean just little g God. I mean big G God.
Amen.
The God of everything. The God that created the heaven and the earth. The God that sent his only begotten son down to die for us.
Amen.
They have no desire in their heart to know him. Because they have worldly wisdom at 15. But they're blind. They're blind to what we have seen since we were them. The God that has brought you thus far, and I put thus in there on purpose. Because, you know, little King James in there. A blind heart can't feel right or wrong, and has no conscience. So when these people are out in the world killing and stealing and doing whatever they're big and bad enough to do, and we say, wow, they feel bad about that. Their hearts are blind. Their hearts are hardened. They don't know God, so they have no conscience on what they're doing. They don't even care because they don't have the love of God in them. God loves them, but they don't love God back.
Amen.
And unfortunately, we do this to ourselves when the cost of following the Lord is presented before us. Sometimes when you let somebody know that this is what it's going to take to live a godly life, then they don't want to know God at all. God is wrong. Oh, the God you, if you do anything, God's going to send you to hell. Well, no, it's not like that.
Amen.
Okay? If you do wrong by God or by society, you're going to suffer for it. Okay, you got to follow somebody's rules. Why not follow the rules of the one that will give you everything?
Amen.
This life is temporary. There will come a time where we punch a ticket and it'll be over. Some of us will be right here in this church in a box, gone.
Amen.
Okay? This life is temporary. It's the life after this.
All right. Amen.
Okay? And there is no little g God that's going to get you there. Okay? The God of the sun and the God of the water and the God of ground. And you know, people worship all kind of stuff. Okay, but there's one true living God. One true and wise God.
Amen.
One God that has never died, but his son died for us.
All right. Amen.
And you know how great he is?
Yes.
He said, son, thank you for dying for our people.
Amen.
Now come on back up here and sit next to me. How many other of those little g gods have done that?
Amen.
Zero.
Amen.
Because once they died and were buried, you can go visit their tomb.
Amen.
Checking the heart. In Jeremiah chapter 13, verse 10, it reads, this evil people, which refuse to hear my words, which walk in the imagination of their heart and walk after other gods, little g, to serve them and to worship them, shall even be as this girdle, which is good for nothing. But the imagination of their heart, the stubbornness, they don't want to hear it. They let their hearts wonder about all kinds of things, but never about God. And when God comes to them, they still have stubbornness in their heart. And they'll chase after anything but God. They'll chase after anything but what's right. Because they need a heart check. They worship all these fake idols and all that. And it says here, shall even be as this girdle, which if you have a girdle that don't fit, what good is it to you? None. Need a heart check. In Jeremiah 17, verses 9 through 10, it talks about the heart. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Well, I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doing. Now let's consider this. The fruit of his doing? If you ain't living right, what do you think your fruit looks like? Okay, if you're living after God and you're enjoying the fruits of your labor that God has blessed you with, it'll be the first fruit. But if you are against God, he don't exist, he's that hocus pocus guy, you know, he ain't real, all this and that, people just, they just like to say, mainly they will say it constantly to those that truly believe. They will constantly come at you telling you that God doesn't exist because if he did, this wouldn't happen, that wouldn't happen. But check their fruit. Amen. Because God knows the heart. And he said he's going to search a man's heart and he will try the reins even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of their doing. So if you're doing wrong, then expect the rotten fruit. Okay, you can, if you go throughout the whole season, you decide at the very end of the season, you're going to go pick apples. Well, all the good apples are gone. And you can see that on that tree, there will be withered apples. There'll be limbs off, leaves on the ground. That's their fruit. The fruit of them that walk, that choose not to serve God, that don't believe in his goodness, that don't trust and believe in him. What they do, they drink and smoke and party and all that. You'll be able to see their fruit. In James, it's what we need to get back to doing. In James 4, verses 7 and 8 reads, submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. God knows your heart. All the time, God says, come to me. Come to me. It says here, submit yourselves. Not just to anybody. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Big G. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Too often, way too often, do we see the devil coming? And we won't even close the door. And when we close the door, we won't lock it. But if we go to God against our enemy will flee from us. But often we want to take on our troubles ourselves. God said, Jesus said, my yoke is easy. My burden is light. But all the time, we want to, you know what? I don't need anybody's help. I don't need Joe down the street. I don't need God. So many times. And then you hear the complaints of the struggle and how hard it is and how I can't get any help. Well, God sent you help. And God is your help. Verse 8, draw nigh to God.
Yes.
Go to God. Because as you go to him, he will come to you.
All right. Amen.
I didn't make that up. It's right here. Draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. Now in today's, how everything's going today, hand sanitizer everywhere. Cleanse your hands. Put hand sanitizer. Go wash your hands 20 seconds. Sing happy birthday to yourself. But here's the thing. If you're a sinner, you can only get your hands cleaned by God. We need to keep that into consideration. God cleans his people. So if you're going to come to God with clean hands, you have to come to God for the cleaning. And we were all sinners. But God will clean us up. He'll clean our hands because our hands did a lot of the dirt. And he will purify our hearts. And not just that. As we think this and that and how we can get around, he'll fix that double mind. He will give you a singularity that is just him. God knows your heart. How many times have you heard people say that God knows my heart? He really knows your heart regardless of how many times you say it when you're living a fruitless, godless life. So as you do wrong and say, oh, well, God knows my heart. Y'all don't know me like that. God knows my heart. Well, remember how you're living, because God might know your heart, but you don't know God.
Amen.
Sometimes we just need a heart check. Ask God to give you a new heart. Maybe that's what we got to do. Go to God and ask him for a new heart. In Psalms chapter 26, verse 2, if we're going to go to God and ask him for a new heart, we need him to do something for us so we understand what's going on. In verse 2, it says, examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Try my reins and my heart. Sometimes we need that heart check. But dear Lord, while you're checking my heart, be like Peter. Don't just wash my feet, Jesus. Wash all of me.
Amen.
God, examine all of me. Don't just examine my heart, Lord, because I need you to examine every part of me, from my head to my toes. Examine my mind, examine my eyes, examine everything. And then try me, Lord, because the devil's going to try me. But if you try me, then I know that I can come out better in the end. Because when the devil tries you, if you fail when the devil tries you, then you are no better. Because he don't want you to be any better. But if God tries you, if he pulls on your reins to see how good you are, and you come out standing, it's because God gave you the strength to go through that trial. So you always want God to try you above anything else. Because if the devil tries you, he tries you to make you fail. He won't give you the strength to get through the trial. In Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 through 7, if you're going to come and ask God for a new heart, this is how you got to come asking. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. God doesn't want us to come to him trembling and in fear. Oh, I sin, so I can't ask God to help me. That ain't what it says. It says come boldly. You don't need no chicken littles coming to ask him for nothing. We are children of God. We are the sons of God. We are royalty. When was the last time you heard of a prince or a king or a queen bending down and asking somebody for something? It might be different for us when we go to God. Don't get me wrong. But he wants us to come to him boldly. Letting him know that we trust in what he's going to do. This is how we should go to God. We don't need to be careful for our supplications and our prayers, because if we're praying to God, it's going to be right. It has to be right. It has to come from our examined heart. It has to come from our tried heart. If we trust and believe in God, then we can go to him with anything. It doesn't matter what it is, because he loves us and he'll take care of us. Verse 7 reads, "And the peace of God," I'm going to go back. "Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." So when you go to him saying, "Lord, this is what I need. Lord, this is what I want. This is what I need right now. This is what can wait." Understand that after you put your prayer supplication out there, you can step back and enjoy the peace of God. The relaxation, the calm. Because only he can give that to you. In all your worry and tribulation, when you go to God with it, you can sit back and say, "You know what? God has it. I don't have to stress about this. And I don't have to understand how he's going to take care of it, because I know he's going to take care of it." And how is he going to take care of it? "Shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus, our Savior." Amen. The one that gave up everything for us. If he loves us that much, why wouldn't he answer our prayers? Amen. He's going to answer your prayer. Sometimes you have to be patient. Amen. And sometimes that's a heart check in itself. Amen. The love of God can make things happen for us. In Ezekiel chapter 11, verses 19 through 21 reads, "And I will give them one heart, and I will put a new spirit within you, and I will take the stony heart out of their flesh and will give them a heart of flesh." How many times have we read in the Bible that someone's heart was hardened? They couldn't hear God. They couldn't do God's will because of their hard hearts. One that comes off right away is Pharaoh. Moses kept saying, "Let my people go." His hard heart said no, no matter what happened. But God says, "I will give them one heart." And he doesn't mean each individual, he means he will give his people one heart, a heart to love him. Amen. A heart to accept his love. "And I will put a new spirit within you," because we are all born in sin. And we all are born with a sin nature and a little evil spirit that'll do anything we can or anything we're big and bad enough to do until God steps in. So you get a new spirit. And a loving, accepting heart through Christ. Verse 20 reads, "That they may walk in my statutes and keep my ordinance and do them, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God." What? "That they may walk in my statutes." They can walk in God's law. Keep my ordinance, keep my rules. Because if you don't have a heart for what God is and who God is, you're not going to follow his laws or his rules. Amen. So he gives you a heart to accept the rules and the law. And the reward? What's the reward for doing that? "And they shall be my people, and I will be their God." And just in case your heart just ain't right, verse 21 will help you out with some understanding. But as for them whose heart walketh after the heart of their detestable things, I'm going to start over because I messed that all up. But as for them whose heart walketh after the heart of their detestable things and their abominations, I will recompense their way upon their own heads, saith the Lord God. So if you want to walk your walk, you don't want to accept God for who he is, you can't accept him in your heart. It goes back to verse I read before. Your fruit will be shown and your punishment will be there. Because God doesn't put up with that. Detestable abominations, that is disgusting and horrible. Those are things that God will not stand for. And if that's what you're going to stand for and that's what you're going to trust and believe in, then you might as well heap the coals upon your own head. Some of the things we need God to do for us, besides the examination and the heart check and pulling on our reins to get us right. Psalms 51 and 10. This is something that we need God to do for us. Create in me a clean heart. How can you serve God with a dirty heart? How can you praise God with a dirty mouth? So many people try and do it. But guess what? Orbits don't clean a dirty mouth. Okay? You can chew it all day long. Sin is sin. And that's it. But we're asking God in Psalms 51:10, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. We can go on living this life with a bad heart, a horrible, evil, dark spirit, and just calling ourselves grown and we know everything. But we always will need God. Amen. Whether you recognize it early or late. But this scripture lets us know that we can go to him boldly, confidently. Go to God and say, dear Lord, create in me. Because I need it. Amen. It's not just a want. I need you to create in me a clean heart. Don't just renew my spirit, because if I have this spirit of destruction and recklessness in me, I don't need that spirit renewed. That's path to hell. I need you to renew the right spirit within me. Sometimes the heart needs a little extra. Sometimes we need a little extra, like Psalms 147 and 3, which reads, he healeth the broken in heart and bindeth up their wounds. Sometimes we just need God to play doctor. Okay, a broken heart, God can fix a broken heart. Whether it be from sadness or mourning or whatever broke your heart. Your boyfriend said he don't love you no more. Girlfriend that left without leaving a note. You know, you're just so sad. But go to God. Whatever the problem is, God is a healer. So whatever you've been going through that has your heart heavy, take it to God and let him fix it. Amen. Whatever or whoever hurt you to the point where you don't know what to do, go to God and let him bind your wounds. Because he is a heart fixer. He is a healer. He is always there for us. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 5, again, something that we need sometimes. And the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ. Sometimes we need we need God to say, this is what you need to do. We need God to steer us in the direction that we need to go. And a lot of times in this flesh, we let our hearts decide which way we're going to go. Whether we're going to go right or left, whether we're going to do right or wrong, we let our hearts decide that. So why not give God the steering wheel to your heart and let the Lord direct you? And not just direct you anywhere, but direct you into his own love. Because so many times when we're challenged, we'll go any which way but to God. So we need God to direct our hearts to his love. And we, even though sometimes it's really hard, sometimes we need the patience to wait for Christ to make his move. Sometimes we pray and we pray and we pray, and because God isn't moving fast enough, we want to do things on our own strength.
Amen.
Just keep in mind that our strength is limited.
Amen.
Okay?
Yes.
If you put a battery in a microphone and you use it every day, eventually the battery is going to die out. These bodies, as big, as strong as we think we are when we're young, let time pass. See how it wears out, how it wears down. All of a sudden, that 15-pound bowling ball that turned into a 10-pound bowling ball because you can't throw it no more. Then after a while, you're just sitting back watching as everybody else throws because you just don't have the strength to do it anymore. Sometimes we just have to be patient and wait on the Lord.
Yeah.
And again, sometimes that takes a heart check. Well, what kind of love is this that God has for us? It's an amazing love. In John 3:16, it says it. And Pastor puts this in almost every sermon. Well, he puts it in every sermon. I can't even say that. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That's the kind of heart you want. A heart that would give up everything for God because God gave up his best for you.
Amen.
Why wouldn't you want to serve a God that's willing to die for you? Not just make a way for you, but willing to die for you. So even though you're living a sinful, hateful life, he still makes a way for you to get into heaven. That is an amazing love. It's an ultimate love. I have one more scripture that I wanted to add. And it's found in John 14, verses 26 and 27. Because it's something else that God did for us. That he didn't have to do it. But because of his love for us, because he loves us so much. In John 14, verse 26 reads, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you." This is Jesus speaking.
Amen.
He's letting us know that from his heart, he loves us so much that he won't just leave us barren and alone. Going to send down the Holy Ghost to us.
Yeah.
And the Holy Ghost will give us remembrance of everything that he said. And in verse 27, it reads, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." When you have the peace of God, you don't need to be afraid of anything else. You don't need to be fearful of what this world has to bring. He gave us the ultimate love, and he gave us peace to go through this life with.
Yes.
All we have to do is continue to come to him for all that we need, because he is that good of a God. Again, the ultimate love, he gave his son for us.
Yes.
Do we have a heart to serve a God that would do all that for us? Well, we just got all these scriptures saying that this is how we get that heart. You still have a choice. As I heard it said before, serve or burn. You got a choice. God's ultimate love. He's willing to give you everything. And now to finish, the same scripture that I started with, Psalms 19:14, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Amen. Amen.